AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
Well, I assume we're doing a show. I've been playing music.
Well, I thought so, yeah. I kept waiting. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. Hold on. Do your Greg Peterson. Can you
me?
Do Greg? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't adjust your radio, folks. This isn't Chip Flory. I'm in the driver's seat of the show today, and that means we're talking farm machines and equipment for the beginning, middle, and end.
Here we go. Live from a less frigid, frosty Monday morning via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we implement a conversation with Mike Hedge, president and CEO of Berkey's Farm Stores. Later, Tim Meyer from the Steffes Group. Right after the news, a weather update from Kirk Hins from BAMWX. I'm
handsome newsman
Davis Michelson.
Ooh, yeah.
And now, filling in for Chip Flory, Greg Peterson. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, Davis. Sorry I messed up the opening there.
That's okay.
I'm more of a writer than necessarily a radio guy, but no, happy to be filling in for Chip today, and always fun to talk machinery and give a little more air time, and nice brisk morning this morning here to talk machinery.
It is brisk. At least the sun is out, and we are on the plus side of zero here in central Iowa. I don't know about your locale. How are temperatures shaping up there this morning?
Yeah, it's single digit, but you know, I'm always amazed, Davis, at how wonderful 2 degrees can feel if the wind is not blowing out of the north. So it's kind of... Like I used to tell our daughters when they were growing up, could always be worse, better than a kick in the shin. So at least the wind's not blowing too bad.
For sure. I got to send a special shout out to some lovely ladies in transit right now. Travel safely, girls. The Super Fox is making a trip back from Indiana with her daughter. So hello, ladies. Drive safely. Pete, today you've got a couple good ones lined up. You got Mike Hedge. You got Tim Meyer. What do we got to look forward to here?
Yeah, some big news talking with Mike Hedge, CEO, president of Berkey's Farm Stores. Kind of a unique announcement last week in the news, maybe caught some people's eye. And then my good friend Tim Meyer with the Steffes Group, we're going to talk what a finish to 2021 and looking forward into 2022 on the auction front. So it should be fun.
Well, and you and I have a few notes, too, of some auctions that you want to cover, some stuff that you just want to get to yourself. You said, hey, I'll just take a whole segment to myself. I can't wait to see what you've got for us. We better get going. I'm going to hit the news. What do you say?
Hey, sounds good, buddy.
Well, Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond President Thomas Barkin said he supports the central bank's hawkish outlook for monetary policy and is open to raising interest rates when its bond buying stimulus effort winds down. Quote, I'm very supportive of what we did in December, Barkin said, referring to the decision last month to accelerate the Fed's drawdown of its asset purchases. And we can add East Coast port snafus to West Coast shipping woes. COVID-19 cases among dock workers collided with a pandemic-fueled surge in cargo volumes to create a rare bottleneck at the Port of New York and New Jersey. By mid-afternoon last Friday, this as a snowstorm also interrupted operations. The Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will also travel to California this week, where he will visit the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Farm Bureau's message at its annual convention was more bipartisanship, more trade agreements, and more than just talk about climate. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval's remarks at the Atlanta-based confab were poignant when Duval remarked, quote, agriculture goes a lot deeper than just being about climate. And I spoke with Pro Farmer Washington OG Jim Wiesmeyer this morning on Signal to Noise. And I asked him about this with, would he go so far as to call Duval's comments about climate concerns, about, you know, a climate-centered policy moving forward, pushback? And he said, well, it was a gentle pushback, but, Duval is a Southern gentleman, was Wiesmeyer's quote. So I think we can call a pushback on all the talk about climate and agriculture, at least as a central focus when making policy. In other news, President Biden will nominate climate adaptation specialist Alice Hill to be the Federal Emergency Management Agency's, that's FEMA, Deputy Administrator for Resilience, the White House announced on Friday. Hill worked on resilience issues in the White House and helped the Department of Homeland Security craft its first ever climate adaptation plan during the Obama administration. There's that climate focus again. China confirmed its first cases of domestic transmission of the Omicron variant on Sunday, prompting mass testing and quarantines. Authorities confirmed the first cases of the domestic transmission of the variant in the city of Tianjin, which is located just 80 miles southeast of Beijing. The entire city will now test its 14 million citizen population for the variant. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is pushing ahead with the vaccine mandate for international truckers, despite increasing pressure from critics who say it will exacerbate driver shortages and drive up the price of goods imported from the United States. Canada will require all truckers entering from the United States to show proof of vaccination starting on Saturday. President Biden said surging COVID-19 cases won't be the new normal, though the virus is likely to endure and can be managed with newly developed tools. The president's remarks came after several of his former health advisors published articles saying the strategy to fight the pandemic needs to be updated and that the virus would become, quote, the new normal. All right, that's today's news. Let's move on to Kirk Hinz from BAM WX. Good morning, Kirk. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, well, thank you. Doing just fine. We've, you know, we're a little warmer here than we were last week, which really isn't saying much, but we are definitely warmer. South America is taking a little bit warmer, a little bit too far, would you say?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, it's for southern Brazil, Uruguay, and especially Argentina down there, it's definitely our warmest week ahead of the season. We're talking about normal temperatures, minimum of 95 degrees, more likely 100 to 105 degrees every single day over the next 5 to 7 days in those areas. Some areas may even top 110. So it is the definition of a heat wave down there for sure.
And this is, I mean, you know, it gets hot there. Sometimes it gets hot here. But when you're talking 110 plus, I mean, that's above and beyond.
Yeah, it is. It's classic La Nina going on right now. It's coupled with extremely dry conditions as well. So we've been very dry already the last 30 to 45 days. So we're zapping the soils at a much quicker rate over the next 7 days for sure.
Does this give us any indication of where La Nina might be headed from here on out?
Yeah, I think it can. I think we're probably approaching what we call the max influence of La Nina. There is a rain in there as we're getting into the middle to later part of next week. But then it returns, it looks back to warmer and drier. So the question now is, even with short little bursts of rain, how impactful are they if the long-term forecast continues to be similar to what it is right now, you know, warmer and drier? So there's some relief there. I think the longer-term picture is still as concerning given the strong influence of La Nina. So that it's a high level of concern that needs to be on everybody's radar going into later January into February for sure.
A high level of concern. That's our takeaway from Kirk Hinz from BAM WX. Kirk, thanks for your time this morning. Have a great week, buddy.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. You too. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, is behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk, readying his notes for his conversation with Tim Meyer. And right before that, we'll have Mike Hedge from Berkey's Farm Stores. So glad that you've tuned in this morning. Davis Michelson here, your pal on AgriTalk. Stick around through these words.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Machinery Pete here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, to AgriTalk. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here on an oatmeal cookie of a Monday. Chip is out, but he will be back later on this week. In the meantime, we've got Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson here Greg, you've got your first guest lined up and ready to go. So let's open the chute. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I'm very excited, Davis. I've got my friend Mike Hedge, president and CEO of Berkey's Farm Store, 17-store KSH dealership in Illinois and Indiana. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Greg. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you guys had some big news last week. I think it was maybe, was it Thursday the press release came out? Your big announcement that Berkey's was transferring 100% ownership of the company to your employees through an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan. Wow, that was big news. I know it caught my eye.
Yeah, it's certainly been something that's been in the works for the last probably the last 6 months, but we got it done at the end of the year, and going into January of 22, we are now 100% employee owned.
Wow. Well, that is awesome. You know, I've been, obviously everyone's been watching over the past number of years here, Mike, the consolidation within industry, and certainly understanding, well, you know, why these things are happening. But, you know, when I saw your press release, I just thought it, you know, it just kind of jumped out, a different approach. And I imagine there must have been, a ton of planning going into a decision like this.
Oh, yeah, it's quite complex. You know, all businesses have to go through transitions and successions. And at Berkey's, we've always had a business that's had multiple owners, and we've transitioned many owners out of the business over the years. But, you know, over our 67 years, we as a company have never had a majority owner. So as the business has grown and the business is consolidated, we've gotten bigger. The capital transitions that we have get increasingly more challenging and difficult to address. And we've seen a number of dealers utilize ESOP, particularly KSIH dealers, utilize them very effectively. And for us, it really checked all the boxes. We preserve our company culture. Nothing happens to our day-to-day operations of the business and our service to our customers. All our employees and our leadership stays in place. And the nice thing about an ESOP is that it's got tax-exempt status as 100% ESOP. So it allows us to reinforce our appreciation to employees by rewarding them with a beneficial interest in the company going forward. It's a retirement plan, a retirement investment for them. None of our existing benefits get shifted or removed. It's entirely something that's incremental. So it provides a smooth exit for owner capital over the years and allows for this smooth transition into the hands of the employees, 100% ownership of the business.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting, Mike. What has been the reaction from like farmer customers? You guys have a pretty big footprint there across Illinois in particular. I imagine you've got some pretty positive feedback here since the announcement came out.
Yeah, haven't heard a lot yet. It's a little early. Our employees are still actually just digesting it, but I expect the reaction to be very smooth. The reaction initially from our employees that we told last week was very positive. You know, it allows us in a lot of ways to continue to stay focused on our customers and our employees at the local level. And that's something that's always been important for us, is to be engaged locally, even as we've grown to be a fairly large organization.
Right. Well, having worked with you guys for a number of years, Mike, I know that local focus, appreciate that about Berkey's Farm Stores, the way you guys roll there. And folks, if you haven't seen their website, very good website, check out berkeys.com. A lot of great information out there. I'm just curious, Mike, with wondering, as challenging as it is for farm equipment dealers to recruit new, you know, whether it's service techs, salespeople, wondering if this new ownership plan possibly could have some benefits for you guys in attracting and retaining employees?
Well, we definitely believe that will help attract, retain employees. It gives us kind of a leg up on some other organizations that may not have that. And, you know, the thing that we want to do is when we get good employees, we want them to stay with us. And we have many over the years who have. But we think that this just reinforces our ability to do that.
Right. No, that makes sense to me. And you mentioned earlier, Mike, about the culture of your dealership there. And again, 17 locations with Berkey's Farm Stores. Can you speak a little bit about the culture of your dealership?
Yeah, I mean, our business has always been about having relationships with our customers. And anybody that's in the agriculture business knows that it's a relationship-driven business. You succeed in the long term by having good relationships, whether it's, you know, on the farm side of our business or the construction side of our business. You know, the people that we do business with are the same people that we go to church with and we see at school functions and we see at the local grocery store. And, you know, we're not a business in agriculture that has new customers. And just as the dealers have consolidated, so have our customers. And so retention of our customers and engagement with them locally is something that we feel very strongly about. And hopefully our customers see that engagement through our employees at our local branches.
Gotcha. Well, let's transition here, Mike, last couple minutes we have here, and talk about the current market, as the equipment market, as we transition out of a wild end of 2021 into 2022. What is your take as CEO and president of Berkey's there? Let's start with new equipment. Let's start with availability of new farm equipment. What would you say there?
This industry is something in my 30 years, I've never seen anything like it. You know, when we're looking at 2021, when we finish the year, like many dealers, we almost have no new inventory available. It's pretty much been sold out. I mean, there's a few pieces across our 17 stores, but there's not a lot of inventory units. And when we look at 2022, we have basically ordered everything that we can for model 2022 from our manufacturer at this point. Still hoping and thinking we're going to get all of that, but all of us dealers have had inventory canceled and pushed back and delayed. So, you know, we've ordered what's available. Much of it's pre-sold. Very little of it will be coming in for stock. I really would encourage any customers, whether, you know, buying from a red dealer, a green dealer, or anybody else, if there's something that they need for season, they need to get it ordered and they need to get something secured now, because it won't be available as we move throughout the year.
Yeah, that's boy, that's exactly what I've been seeing across the industry, Mike. I think earlier last year I came out, it was only the second time I'd ever done it in 32 years, but just said, whether it's new or used, don't worry. I mean, just get it, because the market was, you could kind of see it was just becoming about availability.
Yeah.
How would you say that is applied to the used inventory for Berkey's? I mean, are you pretty tight with used inventory?
Oh, we are extremely tight on inventory. We have less inventory than I think we have ever had. You know, typically, you know, you might have a 3 or 4 month supply worth of inventory. That's down below 2 months. I mean, the things that are hitting the books are sold within a few days. And so, again, if you see something that's traded in and on the lot and it's something you need, you better get your hands on it.
So if we talk about looking ahead, first 6 months on into the last half of 2022, are you sort of seeing, like, the equipment market, I mean, these factors, availability and the tight inventory on use, sounds like we, you know, not much is going to change. It's just going to be the way it is for a while. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're looking at 22 being more of the same as what we saw in 21 with the constraints of inventory. Much of our inventory, the model year 22, is already pre-sold. Customers were proactive last summer, last fall, of getting some of these orders in. So a lot of our business has already taken shape for, I would say, the first 6 months of this year. But we're already hearing that some of the model 23 stuff will be in limited supply as well. Our manufacturers continue to be short on parts, and they're having supply constraints as well.
Well, Mike, I thank you for joining us. Again, Mike Hedge, President and CEO of Berkey's Farm Stores. Again, congratulations on the news last week of your new employee ownership program. Mike and folks, again, if you haven't, go check out Berkey's.com. Great site. And again, thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
All right, well AgriTalk rolls on. Yeah, you betcha. We've got Brian Grady coming up. Stick around.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now, editor of ProFarmer, Brian Grady. Brian, pressure. You got to look clear over to Chicago wheat to find a little price strength this Monday morning.
Yeah, you know, the soy complex, soybeans over 20 cents lower in most of the contracts here mid-morning. Forecast hot and dry for Argentina, first off. I mean, that crop's just going to get baked this week. There are some rain chances for the weekend for some of those areas, possibly. And the same is the case through southern Brazil. So traders are kind of looking out at this point to next week's forecast and maybe just a little bit of relief in some of those areas. And so that's putting some pressure on the market. Now, keep in mind, we had the huge run-up last week and especially on Friday. And so we're just retracing basically all of that in the soybean market so far this morning.
Are we looking at a rejection of life above $6 in the corn futures?
Oh, you know, I don't know. They're kind of just pivoting around that level at the moment. You know, I've had the stance for a long time that we just aren't going to be able to sustain trade above that level for a long period of time. You know, that could be proven wrong. We'll see what Wednesday's reports have to say. That'll probably have a big say in whether that's right or not. But for the moment, it's just kind of a magnet. You know, we spent a lot of time with 550 as a magnet in corn futures, yeah. And now $6 seems to be that level.
Lower in the livestock spectrum as well.
Yeah, you know, just looking out across everything, kind of broad-based selling today. And so, you know, livestock's part of that. And you know, we've seen losses build a little bit. I'd call them moderate here mid-morning, sharp in the hog futures and moderate in the cattle futures.
Outstanding. Brian Grady from Pro Farmer on Markets Now here on AgriTalk. Don't go away.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Find farm equipment on Machine Repeat's January 18th online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerepeat.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. So glad you've chosen to spend some time with us this Monday morning. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, is in for Chip this morning, but I want to run down a few things in my notes here. You know, Greg, we just had a real good conversation with Mike Hedge from Berkey's, and yep. The question of inventory. Did I hear him right that he's expecting inventory to continue to be a struggle, perhaps into 2023?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. That's jives exactly with what I see and hear when I talk directly to our dealer friends all throughout North America. And also, as I look at our website, machinerypeat.com, which, of course, we have dealer used inventory listed for sale for you folks to shop. It's just it is tight. And like Mike said, he hasn't seen it this way in 30 years. I haven't seen it in my 32 plus years, like anything close to this. So what we're really fighting against, Davis, is our memory here of, you know, if on the farmer side, if you move through the decades and whenever you need to trade or buy or sell, you assume there's a plenty of good late model used equipment, and
sure,
there just isn't. Now, same with, you know, on the car side and pickups, and it's it forces you to be more long term in your thinking, more proactive. And it's just changing things. So, you know, I think Mike spoke to it, and that's what we've been seeing for quite a while now on our side too.
Well, and you got to figure with the calendar flip, we're into 22 now, and it's early yet. We're on day 10 of 2022, so who the heck knows? But you got to figure to some degree, you got your year-end tax buyers hustling to get purchases made, you know, ahead of the first of the year and all of that. But man, we could still be looking at, as you call it, a red hot market into 22 here, just on the basis of that inventory.
Yeah, it's a huge piece of the puzzle, Davis. And I actually did a video piece for Ag Day Television about 2 weeks ago, and I just titled it, you know, it was a question I'd been asked continuously since the start of November, and it was, "Hey, Machine Repeat, when is the other shoe going to drop?" And I totally understood the question. Wherever I traveled around the country, I was getting it. People were reading these, you know, the blogs I write and the stories every day, the YouTube videos here on AgriTalk, our TV show, whatever. And I feel like a broken record. I've been saying, you know, record price, and I don't mean to be sensationalistic when I say that stuff. I'm just representing what the truth, what stuff is bringing. But there was definitely a feeling like, okay, once the calendar flips, things have got it, they have to cool off. And I was sort of speculating, like, I don't think so. And actually, Davis, what we've saw the last few days is it's actually almost hotter, unbelievably. So just a couple of examples. And again, I don't like to talk in generalities. I'm about specifics.
Attaboy.
So let's go last Wednesday to a farm auction in Weston, Ohio. This was a sale by our friends at Wayland Realty and Auction. It was a retirement sale for Matthew Baumgartner. And folks, this was nice stuff and the right kind of stuff that everybody wants. But nonetheless, I mean, just get a load of these prices. So he had a John Deere 4455 mechanical front tractor, 91 model, low hours, 3,251 hours on it, but it brought $84,000. Okay. Now, 4455, very popular tractor. Deere made it from whatever, 89 to 92. I've seen a bazillion of them, and $84,000 is the fourth highest auction price ever without a loader. But here's the thing, Davis. It's the fourth highest ever, but it's the third highest the past 7 weeks.
Mm.
And, I mean, I go back to December 10th. We saw an auction in Sullivan, Indiana. This was a two-wheel drive 4455 that brought $91,000 with, I think it had just under 1,300 hours on it. We had one at $86,000 in Grover Hill, Ohio, November 20th, and then again $84,000 last Wednesday. Now, that wasn't the only hot tractor last Wednesday in Weston, Ohio. They also had a 2000 John Deere 8410T track tractor, super low hours again, 2,488 hours. Went for $116,000, and again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record here, but folks, that's a record price by, and not just by like $1,000. That's a record by $21,000. And wow, the previous high, 95K, was February of 06, 16 years ago. So when we heard Mike Hedge talk about, "Hey, folks, I've never seen the used inventory situation like this," that is that's what's affecting these auction prices. And I can keep going. I mean, there was another item on the sale last Wednesday, an 08 John Deere 8530, 2,907 hours. That went for $193,000, tied for highest auction price ever in 8 years. It applies to combines. They had a 2016 John Deere S680, 1,222 engine hours, went for $266,500, highest auction price on an S680 in 17 months. And believe me, it's not all green here either. Same sale had a 2013 Challenger MT855C, 1,368 hour sharp rig, $247,000. So, Davis, that's a record by $27,000.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Just, when you talk about these record prices, and you're not one given to hyperbole, certainly not. You're a straight shooter. But when you're talking about so many of these records, it's not just by a couple of bucks that it sets a new record. It smashes the previous record in a lot of cases.
And again, like I mentioned when I was interviewing Mike, I referenced my advisory statement I made. It was actually, I think, back in February of 21, so just under a year ago. But And I'm really hesitant to do it. But when the data points line up so strongly, I feel like I have to reporting to mm-hmm. the market. I appreciate farmers, interest and following and their support all these years. And at the time, I just said, guys, gals, don't worry about the price so much. If you need something, just get it, new or used, because you're not going to be able to. And it's going to cost a lot more. And that's unfortunately, whatever, that's what's happened. Now, Davis, I got to give a couple more examples here.
Okay.
That as strong as those examples were from Wednesday in Ohio, again, 32 years I've been doing this. When I see record pricing out of the deep South, mm-hmm. that's just a whole other can of worms. And it just tells you we're in a different territory. So folks maybe caught this blog I wrote. The sale was just Saturday. I mean, it was 2 days ago. It was in Sumter, South Carolina for Triple C Farms retirement sale. Super nice sale. Good folks at Rebel Auction Company had the sale. But again, and people sometimes assume, Davis, like the previous sale, like that 91 model 4455, some people will say, that's pre-tier four, that's pre-def. That's why you're seeing the record. Well, okay. So let's go to South Carolina Saturday, a 2019 John Deere 8400R, 769 hours on it, went for $395. Now here again, record auction price, but record by $59,000 and out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started doing this in 1989, and that's just, we just don't see stuff like that. The same sale had a 2001 John Deere 8410, nice rig, but it had almost 6,800 hours on it. And again, I think it was 115 that it brought, second highest auction price in 5+ years. So in the combine, they had a 17 John Deere S670 go for 265. Pair of grain trailers, Davis, they had a 2015 Timpty 40 foot for $42,000. Again, out of South Carolina. So the market, even though the calendar is flipped to 2022, it is still mm-hmm. smoking hot out there.
There are some folks who are, there's been an awful lot of hits on your social media sites about a blog that you wrote about John Deere's release of the autonomous 8R tractor. What do you make about all this? Because some folks are into it. Some folks just hate it. Lots of emotion around the autonomous tractor concept.
Yeah, I think that John Deere's announcement last Tuesday, Davis, and that's when I posted the blog, they were out in Vegas at whatever that CES show or whatever, that technology deal, and they announced the, fully autonomous John Deere 8R. So when I posted that blog, I thought, oh, this is going to be really interesting because, farmers and change, but it was unbelievable. I mean, I've posted blogs for so long I can't even remember. I think I started blogging in the late 90s. This one, the Insta sparks on this thing were incredible. So I think we had 318 comments on it in a day. And they, I understood the range. A lot of people were like, oh my gosh, this makes me so sad. I totally understand that sentiment. But then other people were super jazzed, like, oh, this is the great, labor shortages and efficiency. And so it really is all in how you look at it. I think it's interesting to look back, when GPS first came along, mm-hmm. I think probably the same thing. People were like, change is difficult, but it gets absorbed. And then also, I've interviewed dealers that were about 100 years old that talked about the changing from horses to tractors, which I'm right. sure was pretty freaky back in the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Deere, it's interesting. I think Davis, they've said that, they're not going to come out and beat people over the head with this thing. It's limited production for those that it can work for. So mm-hmm. it'll be real interesting to see how it's adopted going forward.
Well, yeah. And in, there may be just a little bit of a buffer too with the supply constraints, with the chip shortages right. and all that sort of stuff. So it's not like they're really probably in a position anyway from the manufacturing
yeah.
side to produce a ton of these and just flood the markets with autonomous tractors. It's a fascinating subject and a really interesting potential transition pivot point for agriculture at large. I've got Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete here, and when we come back after this break, Greg's going to talk with Tim Meyer from the Steffes Group. I hope you'll join us. Stick around through these words. It's AgriTalk with Davis Michelson.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone on an oatmeal cookie Monday, but we've got Machinery Pete Greg Peterson here. Greg, a couple of great conversations, and I appreciate your commentary in the last segment there, but you've got one more guest to bring with us. Who have you got?
Yeah, I have my friend Tim Meyer with the Steffes Group out of their Mount Pleasant, Iowa office. Tim's one of the sharpest cats I know in the equipment and auction business. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Tim didn't call.
Tim didn't call?
He didn't call.
Oh, Tim is not with us. Okay, well...
Okay.
I think, folks, if you go to steffesgroup.com, you can find Tim's picture there, one of the many great folks with the Steffes Group. I know Tim's, I think he might have been out on the road this morning, maybe just couldn't call in, but had a number of opportunities to visit with Tim here the past month or so. And, of course, Steffes Group, I've been working with them for many, many years. We talk about them every week here on the show, and I tell you what, they had a level of activity in 2021 that's just incredible. Tim did share some stats with me before today when we were going to talk. The Steffes Group in total last year, this is unbelievable, but they had 697 auctions in 11 states. And actually, if you focus on equipment auctions, they had 320 equipment auctions, including 100 retirement sales. So that's almost a machinery auction a day. Just incredible. I know November and December, they were very, very busy. And as I've worked with them over the years, they've been extremely helpful to me building our Machinery Pete business. I go way back 32 years ago, getting to know Scott Steffes and Bob Steffes, who I think they just celebrated their 60th anniversary in the auction business, by the way. But when I was talking with Tim, he mentioned that I think they had 116,000 registered online bidders last year on their auctions.
Hey, I got Tim.
Oh, we got Tim. Hey,
yeah, we got him.
Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Greg, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Tim, I know you're...
Get off the phone here, but yeah.
I know you're busy. I am appreciative of your... taking time. I was just sharing with the audience, Tim, some of the amazing stats, all your auctions, 320 equipment auctions, 116,000 registered online bidders. I think you guys had, 40.5 million page views on steffesgroup.com in 2021. Quite a year you guys had last year.
It was great. We topped what our goals were last year. And I don't know really what's in the market for this year. Folks, it's easy to talk about last year, but everybody really wants to know about what's going on this year. And, I have a really good friend of mine, Jim Rothermack. He's out of Des Moines. And I was on the phone with him last week. And I said, Jim, you collect all this land data. And my question to him was, how many auctions do you think transferred, how many pieces of land transferred by auction? And I know you're an equipment guy, but he thought somewhere between 85 and 90%. But he told me that land went up in the state of Iowa 36% last year. And I would say equipment probably wasn't too far behind that. We just saw some really amazing prices, and I don't know that it's over yet. As long as we've got these good commodity prices, I think, and not a lot of equipment for sale, we're going to continue to see a strong equipment market, Greg.
Yeah, I know Jim real well, who you're referring there on the land side, Sharp Cookie. And yeah, I would agree with you, Tim, on that kind of that 30%-ish, 30 to 35%. In fact, let's take an example from late model large equipment that you guys sold, and take two items that sold a year apart. So let's go back to your Larchwood, Iowa sale a year ago, December 21st of 20. You guys sold a 2019 John Deere 9620RX, 928 hours, great condition, brought 360, very strong at the time. And then just a couple of weeks ago, you guys had an 18 model 9620RX, almost spot on same hours, 948, Stanchfield, Minnesota. and this was like December 10th, that brought 495. So a year older, a year down the road, and it goes for 135K more. Just incredible.
Yeah, it's just been quite a ride. And I don't really know, like I said, I don't see this lightening up, at least in the first two quarters of 22. I think that the low shortage of equipment out there compounded with really good, for the most part, you know, the Midwest had decent yields, and now we're experiencing a rally in the commodity market that I don't know that too many people predicted. You know, $6 corn, we're touching on $14 beans. You know, depending on what market you're in, we're playing with those numbers, and as long as we have those kind of commodity prices, I just don't see this going too far. And I think that we're going to see more strong equipment sales. And it's like I've said for the last 6 months, if it's in front of you and you need it and you can justify it, you probably should try really hard to buy it, because it's not out there. It's just not out there to buy.
Right, Tim, you're hitting it just like I've been saying it, and I always appreciate your insights, and appreciate you calling in very much. Tim Meyer with the Steffes Group, folks. Check out their website, steffesgroup.com.
You bet, Greg. Thanks for the call. Have a great week.
You as well.
Greg, this brings up an interesting question. At some point, are we at risk of hitting terminal machinery inventory? I mean, when do we fish the pond dry, you know?
That's a good question, Davis. Well, 2022 is going to be awful interesting, no doubt about it.
For sure. And with the, new tractors hard to get a hold of, I don't know. I guess the idea is, I'll sell my old one. I'll buy a new one. That's no longer an option. Yeah. It just seems...
It's become actually problematic when you think, I came out in October and said, folks, if you got something to sell, you'll never have a better time to sell it, which is true. Right. But when you sell it, then you don't have it anymore, and that is its own new problem. So just like you're getting at there.
Yep. Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson, thanks for joining us today. Go to machinerypete.com. This afternoon we've got Ted Seifried with Dwayne Bossy with me, Handsome Newsman. We'll see you then.